What we're going to talk about tonight is the very first sign, which is casting out demons. Now, I want us to look at the Greek words. I want us to break the Greek words down and what it actually says. It says, let's see, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. Now, of course, the very first thing is in my name. You don't cast out a demon without using the name of Jesus. It's not possible because demons do not care what we say to them. They laugh at us. But when you use the name of Jesus, they care because Satan has been completely defeated and triumphed over and made a show of by Jesus. And so he knows he cannot do anything to Jesus or to a person who believes in Jesus that knows that he can't do anything. Now, there are people who believe in Jesus that don't believe in the devil. Did you know that? There are. And so, but we're not stupid, are we? We know there's a devil because Jesus said there was a devil. And everything Jesus said is true. All right, so the word here, cast out. This word in Greek, when you look at it in the English and it says cast out a demon, what does that make you think? That person is demon-possessed. But that's not what this word says in the Greek. What it says, the word cast out is also the same word cast from. Now, in just a minute, we're going to talk about the difference in being demon-oppressed and demon-possessed. It's two different things, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But let me get through these words. All right, this word here, devil, is really the word demons. This is the word demons. And what this word is, it means an evil spirit. It is a spirit that does evil things. And, you know, this should show you right away how we're always talking about God always does good and Satan always does bad. Because the word spirit is the same whether it's talking about the Holy Spirit or evil spirits. But the Holy Spirit always does what is holy and pure and right and God. But evil spirits always do evil. So you know what you're dealing with by what it's doing. If it's doing or being bad, it's always an evil spirit. See? And that's why when people blame bad things on God, they're just falling into the deception of the devil. Because God does not ever do anything bad. He cannot do anything bad. He is the Holy Spirit. It is evil spirits that always do bad. Okay, now, so we don't just cast out spirits. We cast spirits away from us. So every single person from the moment you were conceived, evil spirits have been trying to kill you. From the moment you were conceived. Jesus said Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now let's go on down and look at a couple of words and then we'll move on. The word demonized, and sometimes when it uses the word devils, it's the word demonized. And what that means is to be under the power of a demon. To be under the power of a demon. All right, now the word devil is a different word. The word devil, and when they translated it into the King James Bible, they just threw them back and forth all kinds of ways. That is so confusing. When you're studying the Bible, when the same word demon can be translated into four or five different Greek words. That's why it's so important for you to study the Word of God. The Bible says, study the Word of God to show yourself approved unto God, a person who can rightly divide the Word of God. Okay, the word devil is the word diablos. Everybody knows that. Diablos. Dia in Greek meaning by, and bolos, which means to throw something. That's where we get our word ball. You throw it. A bolos. You throw it. So diabolos means that he is always throwing things. Now, going back to the word cast out is the word ekbalo, which means it's from, you cast it out or from. Bolo, ball means cast, throw. But putting the word ek in front of it means you cast it either from or out or from. So you can understand the two differences in possession and oppression. When a person's oppressed by a demon, you just cast it from you. When a person is possessed of a demon, you have to cast it out of them. See? Satan can't cast out Satan. So if you are demon possessed, you can't set yourself free. But here's the good news. A Christian cannot be demon possessed. You understand that, right? Because when you get saved and Jesus moves inside of your spirit, See, a person who is demon-possessed, and I'm going to show you the scriptures for this in a minute, the spirit has moved inside of their spirit. A demon has moved inside of their spirit. Well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit won't dwell in the same place. So if you invite a demon in and you become demon-possessed, Jesus is not living in your spirit. Therefore, you can't cast a demon. If you're demon-possessed, you can't set yourself free. Do you understand what I'm saying? Satan cannot cast out Satan. But if you're demon-oppressed, which means that they are just warring against you, then you cast them away from you. But you can cast demons out of people who are demon-possessed. So if you are a Christian, you can cast them away from you, and you can cast them out of other people. You understand? I'm going to give you scriptures for all this in just a minute. I just want to give you the explanation so that when we go into the scriptures, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay. And the word for Diablos, devil, means that what he casts is evil words. He's a slanderer. That word is almost always translates slanderer, accuser, false accuser. The word devil means slanderer. He's always throwing lies. That's what he does. All right. Now, the word Satan in Greek is the word Satanas, and it means one who fights against, always opposing, always fighting, no peace, no calm, nowhere, just constantly fighting. Okay, now let's start into the scriptures. In Mark 8, it says, "And when the evening was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast the spirits out with his word and healed the ones who were sick." So if you're going to make a list on how to cast out demons, this is your first one. How did he cast these demons out? His word. With his word. How are we going to cast demons out? His word, not our word. That's very important. We're going to cast them out with his word, not with our word has no power. Only his word is the power of God and the life of God. And when we speak his word, we can carry that power and anointing. But when we speak our words, it brings death. All flesh brings death. All right, now, Matthew 10. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits." Now, that's another word for demons, unclean spirits. They're called lots of things in the Bible. They're called demons. They're called fallen angels. We'll read that scripture in a minute. They're called unclean spirits. They're called lots of things. They have lots of names. Well, here they're called unclean spirits, but he's referring to demons and devil, the devil. "And he gave them power to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." So how did they do it here? They got their power from Jesus. They got the power from Jesus. They did not have the power of the... So how are we going to do it? Just like Jesus did it. All right. So in Luke 4, it said, "They were all amazed, and they spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." So we pick up two new ways to do it here. Power and authority. No, there's a difference in power and authority. Authority means legislative law. God is the only one who can give law, and we live that law. We don't have the authority to give law. Only God the Father gave it. Jesus turned into flesh and became that law, came and told us, and that's what we live is the law of Jesus. And said, "And he commanded the unclean spirits." You don't beg an unclean spirit out. You don't scream it out. You don't puke it out. You know, there was a thing that went through the church here a few years ago that the only way you could cast out demons was when you cast out a demon, a person would throw up. Y'all remember that? Y'all been around long enough to remember that? Where did that come from in the Bible? I could never find that in the Bible. He commanded them and they came out. He didn't scream at them. He didn't call them names. He didn't jump up and down. He didn't rub their heads for 30 minutes. You know, he didn't argue with them. He commanded in the power and the authority of God, and they obeyed. That's exactly the way we cast out demons. Okay, Luke 6. "And those who were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue from him and healed them all." Okay, now this gives us a new word, vexed with unclean spirits. Now this is different See, from being demon possessed. Vexed brings in the word, and we'll find in this most scriptures, oppressed. Well, let me just go ahead and read that scripture, and then you'll have it. Acts chapter 10. It said, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. So, going back to this word vexed, oppressed and vexed are not possessed. You understand, a demon-possessed person is somebody that has given themselves to the devil. The same way the devil comes into your spirit is the same way God comes in. You ask him. You invite him in. You can do it through satanic worship. You can do it through voodoo. You can do it through so many different ways. But you have to open the door and ask the devil to come in to be demon-possessed. You have to love the things of the devil more than you love the things of God. And you want those things. And you invite them into your life. And it doesn't start out as possession. It starts out with on a smaller level. And it just keeps getting stronger and stronger until the person, that's what they want. It takes them. But vexed and oppressed means to where demons are just warring against you. We're going to read that scripture in just a minute. In Ephesians, where it says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We wrestle. We're every day. They are trying to take us. Jesus said, Satan came to kill you, to steal everything you've got, and to destroy you. Jesus said, I've come so that you can have life and abundant life. There couldn't be any more, two more opposites to the coin. Killing, stealing, destroying, or abundant life. Only an idiot would choose killing, stealing, and destroying when we could have abundant life. And so when the enemy comes to oppress, these scriptures we just read, he can oppress us through all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases. And said, and we're going to read some more. There's a bunch more in here we're fixing to read how that they oppress. It says, when they were vexed with unclean spirits and they were healed. This is Luke 6:18. So anytime that an unclean spirit of infirmity or sickness invites you, it's a demon. It's an evil spirit vexing you with a sickness or an infirmity. And I want to say this right here and right now before I forget. Several people have come to me and told me that they are really fighting leg problems. Pain in their legs, not being able to sleep at night. And when the first one told me that, and then the second one told me that, and the third, you know, you see the pattern. It's an attack. It's a demonic attack on the body. When I got up this morning and went to walk down the steps, the minute I hit that step, something inside of my knee just cracked. I hadn't already been able to walk on my knee all day long. But it's a demonic attack on legs and knees in the church. And so we're going to pray over that tonight. And Brother George is here. Brother Donald's not here. But there's other people in the body that has a gift of healing. And we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you if that's an attack against you of your legs just aching so much. This lady told me this morning her legs are aching so much she couldn't sleep at night. And that's going on with so many people. We know it's not a coincidence. It is a demonic attack. And we're going to pray over it because you're being vexed with demon spirits of infirmity. It said they were vexed with unclean spirits and they were healed. And so the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now, virtue is the power of God. Virtue is another word for power. And so because Jesus was full of the power of God, then he could heal with that power. Now, Jesus said to us, I give you all power to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy so that nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he gave us that power. And that's why in Mark 15, he said, these signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons or cast away from them. See, that word cast out also means cast away from. The word out there means out or from. It don't just mean cast out, it means from. And all of us every day have unclean demon spirits that try to vex us. Every day. And we have the power and the authority to cast them away from us. And see, that's exactly how Jesus always walked in perfect health. It wasn't that the enemy didn't attack him. Because the Bible says that he was tried with everything that we are tried with. Every temptation that man goes through, Jesus was tempted with that same temptation. Yet, he didn't give in to it. Why? He knew how to cast demons away from him. When a demon of infirmity tried to come on him, he knew how to say, no, you don't have the power or the authority to hurt my body. You don't have the power or the authority to make me sick. Jesus knew how to do that. And because he knew how to do that, and he did it all the time, he walked demon free. Now, we have that same authority. We just don't use it. Every believer has the same authority that Jesus had because he gave it to us over demon powers. But because we don't use it, we can't walk in that level of freedom and power. But at any time that we want to, we can. Anytime we want to, we can. Because he said, these signs shall follow. Those are the supernatural signs of a believer. That when the devil comes to vex us or oppress us, we don't have to let him do it. We have the power and the authority to say no. All right. Now then, let's talk about oppressed or possessed. All right. Now, Jesus said in John 6, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now, we all know who that one was. He knew when he chose Judas that Judas was a devil, a demon spirit, a person that was operating under the power of the enemy. Why did he choose him? Because he had to have him. He couldn't have gone to the cross without him. Jesus couldn't have, he could have fulfilled his mission without any of the other apostles, but he couldn't have fulfilled it without Judas. Did he make Judas do it? No. God has perfect foreknowledge. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, and throughout eternity. He knew what Judas was going to do. He didn't choose Judas because Judas didn't have a choice. He chose Judas because he knew exactly what Judas was going to do, and he had to have somebody to betray him. And then John 12, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. This is when the woman had come in and anointed the feet of Jesus. Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Questioning Jesus. How dare you let this woman waste this precious ointment like this on your feet? And Jesus, and this is what it said. And he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and he was taking what was put in it. So when the spirit of the evil spirit of lust and stealing came to Judas, he let it stay. He didn't cast it from him. Not only did he let it stay, he was stealing from Jesus. That's pretty bad. But just before you think he's too bad, let me say this. Did you know if you don't tithe, you're doing the same thing? Whoa. Don't throw tomatoes, please. Because the top 10% of everything you make belongs to God, and when you don't give it to him, see, a demon of lust has control of you, which is turning into stealing. See? All right, move on. All right, let's move on. Then later on, now this was way back in John 12, later on in Luke 22, and at that point, Judas was so angry at Jesus because Jesus had called him out right in front of everybody, humiliated him and embarrassed him. So the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, but they feared the people. Then entered into Judas Iscariot, being a number of the 12. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. This is 22 verse 3. And he went his way and communed with the priests and captains how he could betray him. And they were glad and gave him money. Imagine that. He did it for money, which had been the demon that had been attached to him all that time. And he didn't cast it out or away from him. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray them in the presence of the multitude. All right, now we're in John 13 at the Lord's Supper. And when the supper was ended, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. What is your heart? I believe that's when he became possessed. See, I don't believe Judas was possessed before then. Because he traveled with Jesus. Jesus sent him out to heal and do miracles. The Lord gave him his power to heal and do miracles with the other disciples. So up until that point, he was only oppressed and vexed by that demon. And that's how we can sit in church and do wonderful things for God and be oppressed and vexed with demons. You see? Just like Judas was. But when Judas, when the time came, he made up his mind. that he was fixing to get rid of Jesus, then the devil entered into his heart. That's when he became demon-possessed. How did he ask the devil into his heart? When he chose money. Because Jesus said, you cannot love God and money. There's two gods in this world. Money and God. And you are going to either love one or the other. That's why the root of all evil is the love of money. See, all evil is stemmed in love of money. So because he loved money more than he loved Jesus, that's how he asked Satan to enter into his heart. Because he went and sold Jesus for money. That's when he became demon-possessed. And Jesus said, to whom I will give the sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop and gave it to Judas, Simon's son. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, go and do what you've got to do quickly. So you see the difference in oppression and possession. You don't get demon possessed overnight. You've got to have this demon that you love traveling with you for a long time. And then there comes a day when you have to make a choice between that demon and God, and you choose that demon. And Judas's demon was the love of money. See? And it can happen to anybody. Not just Judas. He was nothing special. He was just like all of us. Oh my goodness. It is 15 to 6. We are not going to get very far tonight. Okay. All right. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in John 8, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning and did not abide in the truth. For there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and he is the father of every lie. He is the beginning of lying. And so when these people were lost, these Pharisees were lost. But they believed they were the strongest Christians. So see, you understand how deception works. We can think that we are the best Christian of all. But if the truth is not in us, and we're not living the truth, which is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then we're just deceived, just like the Pharisees. All right, Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand against all the wiles or tricks or traps of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, every day we wrestle a demon. But if we're smart, every day we cast it out because we have the authority and we have the power. So when you're starting down staircase in the morning and you feel something in your knee break, what do? You put your hand on your knee and you say, you dirty devil, you don't have the power or the authority to hurt me. You're a lying demon. And even if it hurts for days and weeks, you keep doing it every day, every day, every day, because we wrestle. And sometimes it don't leave the first time you tell it to leave. Or the second time. Or the third time. We wrestle. You know what wrestling is? The fight continues until one pins the other one down. That's what a wrestle is. You keep telling the devil he don't have the authority to do this. He don't have the power to do this. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than until you pin him down and he leaves. All right, let me read one more scripture and we're going to have to quit. We'll have to pick this up later. I'm going to read about five scriptures and I'm going to show you different doors that we allow the enemy to oppress us and vex us with. All right. In 2 Corinthians, he said, to whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, I forgive it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his divine. Unforgiveness is the number one reason people are demon oppressed and vexed Christians, because they choose to live in unforgiveness. And when we choose to not forgive a person with the same love and mercy that Jesus forgave us, then we've opened the door to the devil. And he will take advantage of an open door. That's what Paul said. At least Satan should get an advantage over us, for we're not ignorant. See, unforgiveness is one of the major ways that we allow demons to operate in our life. Because when we want God to forgive us and we're not willing to forgive other people, we are deceived and ignorant. And demons take, that's where they thrive, is in deception and ignorance. All right. Ephesians 4 says, be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And do not give a place to the devil. So here's another wide open door demons oppress and vex us. Anger. Anger. When we operate in the spirit of anger, it's an evil demonic spirit. And when we do that, we give the devil a place in our mind, and eventually it will move into our body and start causing sicknesses of every kind. See, we cannot be angry and be a Christian. 1 Timothy says, do not use a young believer, or they will, this talking about choosing leadership for the church, they will be lifted up with pride, and he will fall into the same condemnation of the devil. So you don't put young believers up to lead because Satan goes after the leaders. Because when you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. So you don't use a young believer in a place of leadership. And when a young believer tries to walk into a place of leadership, he is always defeated. Because he doesn't have enough warfare wins under his belt to catch all the tricks that the devil's throwing at him. He'll get lifted up into pride. And pride is the worst of all evils. That's what calls Satan. All right. And it says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, or he will fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. In other words, you've got to have a good reputation around lost people. If you don't pay your bills, if you cuss in front of the people that you work with, if you lie, cheat, and steal on your job, the Bible says that you are going to fall into the trap of the devil. See? And we can blame it on the devil all day long, but it's us opening the door for them to come in and just like chew on us all day long like mosquitoes. Because, and you know, I'm always shocked at people that think they can come to church and act like a good Christian and go on their job and act like a devil. But it happens all the time. I am so shocked that people do that. But it happens all the time. All right. In 1 Timothy 3, it's talking about leaders in the church, said their wives must also be grave and not be slanderers. And that word slander is devils. Their wives can't be devils. That word slander is the word devil. So when we're choosing deacons, George almost didn't make it. Sorry, Lee, I said to pick on you. So what I'm telling you is, men, if you're not married, you better be very careful who you marry. Because it affects your ministry very much. All right, Luke 22. And Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, you are those who have continued with me during all my temptations. So I'm going to appoint you a kingdom just like my Father has appointed me. And you will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the Lord said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan has desired you, and he wants to sift you like wheat. Well, I got news for everybody in here. Satan has the same desire for every one of us. Peter was nothing special to the devil. He wants every one of us. He wants to sift us like wheat. You know how you sift, how they sifted wheat in the Bible is they would take it out of on a mountain, they'd throw it up in the air, and the chaff would flow away, and it would come back down. Then they'd run a cart over it to break the wheel, the things off of it. You know, sifting's a pretty painful process, getting all the impurities out of our life. And he wants to sift you, and this is what Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. And do you know Jesus is praying for us right here, right now, every minute? Ever since he went back to heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding. He prays for us all the time. So that when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now, this word converted is not the word repent. It actually means turn around. When you quit acting like you're acting, Peter, then you'll be able to strengthen your brethren. And what did Peter say? Lord, I will go with you no matter where you go. I'll go to prison with you. I'll go to death with you. I don't know how Jesus didn't laugh in his face, but I'm sure he didn't. And said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to even deny that you know me. See, we're so lifted up in pride. We are so... Anyway, those are all places that the devil takes advantage to oppress us and vex us. But see, once Jesus was crucified and resurrected, Peter got strengthened and turned around and strengthened. Peter was preaching when the first 3,000 were born into the church. See, so just as, I mean, even if we've been the biggest failure in this whole town, we can be the strongest leader in this whole town. We can be the worst drug addict that ever lived, the worst alcoholic, been married 50 times, and we can come to Jesus and he can make us the strongest leader, just like Peter. Hallelujah. So we can never use our past as a reason why we can't get strong. Okay, let me see. Got a couple more. And this is 2 Timothy 2. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. See, this is a place where we open the door to the devil, fussing and fighting with people, being harsh, running over people, talking, bullying, you know. When we do that, we open the door to demons to latch on to us. Because if we're doing those things, we don't have the power to cast them away from us. See, a demon, let's say a demon of cancer may come and just latch on to us, and we're trying to cast that thing out, trying to get healed, but yet we're treating everybody in our family like a dog. It don't work. See, we can't cast out demons unless we have the power of God, and God's power does it. The only way to get the power of God is obey the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that we're going to have to stop right here. We'll start right there next time. I don't know when I'll be back, but I didn't get to it tonight. But where I was going to get to was when Jesus said that, how do you cast out the strong man? How do you go into in a cast? You have to bind him first. You bind the strong man. Three times Jesus said in the book of Matthew alone, bind the strong man and then you can cast him out. Bind the strong man and then you can cast him out. And so, and he said that, see, whatever you bind on earth is bound on heaven. All right, what that means is that the way you bind a demon and cast it away from you is you do it with the word and the blood. All through the Old Testament, it told them to bind the word of God to their hands, bind it between their eyes when that, you know, they made those little boxes and put scriptures in it, word on their head. But what that was a symbol of was put it in your mind. Put the word into your mind. And it said, bind it to your heart, bind it to everything. Speak it when you get up in the morning, speak it when you go to bed. All the time, be speaking the word of God. Because when you know the word of God, that's what you're going to bind the devil with, the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, you can't bind the devil. And if you don't know the word of God, you can't obey the word of God. And if you can't obey, if you're not obeying the word of God, you sure don't bind devils. They have you bound. See? And so we constantly put that. He said, then when you bind it, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Because when you speak the word over it, the word in heaven does the work. See, all we do is speak the word. And God slaps the devil down. The word of God. See, that's how we bind the enemy. Number one, we have to be living that word, or the devil laughs at us when we bind him. And then we speak that word. Devil, you don't have the authority to do this to me. You don't have the power to do this to me. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus says a destroyer can't come into my house. And you just keep on speaking that word and speaking that word. Remember we went through there, speaking the word. That's how Jesus cast out those demons, with the word. That's how we cast. And once you're able to cast them away from you, then you're able to do it in other people. Until you first have the authority and the power to cast demons away from you, you don't have the power and authority to do it on anybody else. See, that's why Jesus, every time, every person that came to him to be healed, he could heal, because he never let a demon attach itself to him. See, it's got to work on you before it works on anybody else. And when it works on you, then you have the power and authority to cast demons off of other people. See, it's really simple. It's really not hard. But doing it is a whole nother thing. Because when the enemy comes against us, we want to move into the flesh. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to pout. We want to get into fear. We want to do everything but stand up and start speaking the word over that thing. See, if a spirit of poverty comes against our finances and starts stealing our money left and right, fear is the first thing that we start thinking. Not, I have the power to get rid of this thing. Poverty has no power to rule over me or my finances. We move into fear. And on it goes with every other spirits of infirmity, which are spirits of sickness, spirits of strife, spirits of lying spirits, lust spirits. Oh, we could be here all night long. But what I'm just saying is, you got to first look at your own life and see, where are demons vexing you? Where are they vexing you? That's the first place you start casting them out. See? Then when your faith gets to the level you can cast them away from you, you have the faith and the authority to do it for other people.